When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit me at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. Joining us right now, my guy, he's the Jets beat writer and columnist for the Daily News, the New York Daily News. This is Antoine Staley. I've had him on before. Welcome back, Twan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, good, man. Before we get into the Jets stuff, you know, I was scrolling through your Twitter, and I got to check you on this, bro. What do you mean you were never a fan of the Jordan 11 Lowe's?
No, I don't like the Lowe's, man. I'm a sneakerhead. I love shoes. Like, I think anybody on the Jets beat will tell you, like, I pretty much have worn different shoes every single day of training camp. But, I just don't like the Lowe's, man. I love the 11s. I just don't like the Lowe's.
The 11s are some of the cleanest, best J's, period. Correct. But the Correct. Lowe's are fire in the summer. I've got 4 pair of Lowe's right now in my closet.
Yeah, I just ain't feeling them, man.
I had the pair that you were speaking on that I can't think of the Atlanta Falcons coach.
Raheem Morris.
Yeah, Raheem Morris was wearing. I have those exact same ones I wear to Devils games. I have the navy blue ones I wear to Yankee games. I've got the gray ones. I have the Concord. Like, those are one of my favorite, like, summer shoes, the 11 Lowe's, Jordan 11 Lowe's.
Yeah, I just like to have support on my ankle. I don't know. I just maybe it's an old head thing. I don't know.
you don't want to have a sprained ankle. I got you. Well,
yeah.
We don't want you to come up on the injury report. There's some guys in Jets camp on the injury report. I was just talking to a young man that was like, you know, I hope Mike Williams is ready to go. I hope Tyron Smith is ready to go. Who else hasn't really been getting active so far? Who else have you seen kind of just to the side right now that you think is going to be a vital part of this Jets team?
Well, Xavier Gibson ended up returning today, who he's been out with a lower extremity injury. So that was a big thing. But having him back, Malik Taylor, another wide receiver as well. I know Alan Lazard missed the day of practice. The receiving core has really been, you know, going, you know, had a lot of injuries, to be quite honest with you. And, mm-hmm. and then you add on Mike Williams, who it's kind of on that brief fall plan that was last year, that happened last year, where, you know, Breece tore his ACL in 2022. They kind of just, you know, eased him in into training camp and had him, like, a bit of a pitch count, you know, for the regular season debut. And I imagine that's kind of be the same thing with Mike Williams. But yeah, Tyron Smith, I mean, he's healthy, but if according to, you know, Robert Saleh and just the Jets in general, but they just want to keep him on a maintenance plan where they want him healthy for as many games as possible. If you remember correctly, Dallas kind of did something similar last year. If you're a Cowboys fan, you know, I don't know it well. But
I tried to tell Jets fans he never practices.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's older too. So it's not a big deal if he doesn't practice, but they just want him available for games. And we're talking about a guy that has not played the entire season since 2015. So right. And I think the Jets at least know what they're doing in that regard.
Yeah, it's smart to just, like, not put him in harm's way because he's one false step from a lower body injury. You got to keep him under wraps. No disrespect to the legend. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, if he's ready for game day, he's going to, you know, give you a solid left tackle. But there's no point in using him in practice for reps. There's nothing to gain with a guy like that. He knows every protection. He'll be ready to go. You know, I just was kind of talking about Aaron Rodgers like that. Like, I'm like, there's no reason to play this man in the preseason. I know we got a little bit of that in the Jets-Giants game last year, which was cool. He survived that. But no, they cannot have a repeat of last year where this guy gets hurt and misses time. They have to get him to the starting line, which is week one. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers? He's definitely not playing in the preseason at all.
No, not at all. I mean, so much on the line this year for not just, you know, Aaron, but everybody involved. You talk about Robert Saleh, you talk about general manager Joe Douglas and other people on the team as well. I mean, this is it. I mean, last year they got a mulligan because Aaron got hurt. But they're not going to get that same, you know, latitude this year. I mean, that's why you go out and get a Tyrod Taylor just in case something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers. That's why you go out and get Old Fashioned from Penn State just in case something were to happen to Tyron Smith too as well. So yeah, you have to have the foresight to know just in case something were to happen, you need to have a plan B. And last year they did not have a plan B. But I think Aaron has looked, you know, really solid in camp. I mean, we're not going to necessarily know until the live bullets go in San Francisco and on September 9th. But, you know, I think all accounts, I'm not necessarily worried about him. I have some other questions on the team that I'm concerned about. But Aaron is probably the least of them, at least, you know, his play, that is.
Here's a couple questions about veterans that were in camp and then out of camp. One, Tariq Cohen retired. And I thought he was a weapon. I thought he was a guy that potentially could help in a couple ways, just given, you know, Aaron Rodgers, another guy maybe out of the backfield, and with the new kickoff rules, maybe being an explosive kickoff returner. And then also, I read something that Jarvis Landry came through. Yes. So did you see Jarvis Landry at all? Speaking of, you know, the wide receiver room being banged up, a Jarvis Landry might make some sense.
Yeah, I did not see Jarvis, but I did know he tried out for the team, which is crazy because I actually covered Jarvis when he was in Miami, so for many, many years. But so I was just kind of interested in that regard. But as far as Tariq Cohen, they were surprised in that locker room and also in the organization, because they felt like he had a really good opportunity to make the 53-man roster as a returner, as a backup running back as well. And they thought he probably would have been the fourth running back on the roster. But, you know, he said he was healthy. He said he was ready to go. And then 2 days later, he ended up retiring, which surprised everybody. But now, you know, now you got to go back a little bit to the drawing board, although you got Xavier Gibson. But now you're trying to figure out, especially with the new return rules, who else you're going to have back there. But, yeah, I think the Jets have brought in a lot of receivers there. I imagine they'll continue to do that as long as for the next few weeks throughout the course of training camp.
Yeah, they got to hit up Corey Davis. Corey Davis retired on him last year. He needs to come back. He needs to try and play again.
Yeah, the only thing about Corey is, like, he's a similar type of skill set as Alan Lazard, who they already have on the roster. So I don't know if that necessarily makes a lot of sense, especially when you also have Mike Williams is there. If you're going to go out and get a receiver, you want somebody that's a speed threat, that's somebody that can, you know, stretch the defenses. Where Corey Davis, again, like Alan Lazard, Mike Williams, those are kind of like possession guys that you, again, two of them you already have on your roster.
Yeah, I'm half joking with that. I mean, Jarvis Landry's not going to be much of a speed guy.
Nah.
What about Malachi Corley? How is he looking?
Yeah, I like he's made some plays. Like, he's flashing. I mean, obviously, whenever you come in as a receiver, as a rookie, like, it's going to be some growing pains there. And I think we kind of saw that a little bit earlier. But also, like, you've seen some flash plays, too. You saw somebody that can, you know, Aaron Rodgers is gaining more and more confidence in. Also, Tyrod Taylor, too, and also making some flashes down the field. With contested balls, too. I mean, they called him the Yak King for a reason at Western Kentucky. He's somebody that can not only catch the ball fluidly, but also gain some big yards after the catch. And I definitely think he could be a big weapon in the Jets offense, especially when, you know, Mike Williams may not be 100% ready to go for week one. And, you know, they're going to have to rely more on Corley. They're going to have to rely more on Alan Lazard. And there's also going to put some more on the plate for Breece Hall and also Garrett Wilson, too, as well.
Yeah, so all this talk about Malik Nabers and the Giants and the fights that they've had in training camp with the Lions, well, the Jets were getting after each other too. Did you catch some of that? Did you see how that started up?
Yes.
So go ahead and tell us about the fight club that exists in Florham Park.
So basically, it all started today. Like today, you know, Joe Tippin got into it with one of the backup linebackers, and then the whole team just gained up on everybody on the outs on the sideline, and Joe Tippin's helmet came off as well, and he ended up having to get checked out on the sideline by a trainer. So that's what started everything, and then the second fight, probably, you know, about 5 minutes after that, was after an incomplete pass from Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson and DJ Reed started pushing and shoving each other. So, and then everybody started, you know, getting in that melee, and then probably about 10 minutes later after that, it was a third fight, too. I couldn't really see who was it because it was a big scrum. But then at that point, Robert Saleh just got everybody together and just said, you know, enough, basically. Like, yeah, you're trying to be healthy. And then, I mean, not for nothing, you have a joint practice with the Commanders in a couple of days. So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense to be fighting with each other when you got another team coming into your building. That's the team you need to be, you know, more concerned about, especially considering these joint practices are key now, especially with the you know, preseason game. A lot of players don't play in the preseason anymore. So now they use the joint practices, but really, you know, as a tune-up for the regular season.
Yeah, to get good reps. They just got to get to these practices, and then Saturday they get to face the Commanders in the preseason. It gets chippy, man. It's just like, it's so hot out there. I remember, you know, in college, it's like people are pissed off. They'd rather be elsewhere. They'd rather be doing some other things. You're hot. You're sweating. You're doing these reps over and over and over again. Yep. And you don't have time for somebody being extra, especially after the whistle. Don't touch me.
And also, you're tired of seeing these same faces like for the last 2 weeks. That's basically what it is. Like, you want to hit somebody else. You want to see somebody. You want to see a different scheme. Like, you're just tired of doing the same thing all over again. So that's why I think also another reason why these joint practices come into play. I think they're really good for all these things because you get a different phase, and you also get you're going up against a different scheme and coaching staff too as well. You got the game plan for it, and you know prepare on the fly. So I definitely think it's really good to get these joint practices in. The Jets have three of them: one against the Commanders, one against the Panthers in Charlotte next week, and then against the Giants on the 21st.
We're on the phone right now with Antoine V. Staley, who covers your Jets for the New York Daily News. Twan, tell me somebody from the defensive side of the ball that's like really standing out. I know Quinnen Williams last year in Hard Knocks was talking about he had 10 sacks in one day. You expect that from him, but you know, Sauce Gardner is supposed to be a lockdown corner, elite, the best corner in football. Quincy Williams, obviously. Like, well, tell me somebody that you've seen who's really making plays and standing out from this vaunted Jets defense.
I could name a few. I think Devon Kinlaw is somebody, a free agent who they brought in, signed a 1-year deal. I definitely think he's somebody that's made some plays, who he had recorded a sack. You know, he didn't take down Aaron Rodgers, but it would have been a sack today. I mean, he gained a healthy 30 pounds throughout the offseason, which I actually asked him, like, how did you do that? And basically he just said he ate like 6 chicken breasts and a lot of eggs and girlfriend, actually. Yeah, exactly. A lot of protein, some noodles, and things like that, too. But, yeah, it's all good weight in that. He's been flying around, too. So he's somebody I look at as definitely been, you know, active throughout the course of training camp. Jamie Sherwood, linebacker, somebody, a converted safety. I definitely think he's been really good. He recorded an interception on Aaron Rodgers the other day. You talk about Quantez Stickers, their rookie who played in the CFL last year. He's definitely somebody that's also shined too. And Chuck Clark. Chuck Clark, I think, is going to be a really hard hitter for the Jets. So you hadn't been able to demonstrate that throughout the course of training camp, but he's made some plays too, and he's also intercepted Aaron Rodgers. But, yeah, those are the four players that I definitely think have really stood out outside of the usual suspects on the Jets defense.
Yeah, I feel like with all of the talk around Hassan Reddick and his holdout, people are kind of forgetting that Javon Kinlaw is on this team. I actually forgot, as I was talking about week one, you know, with them facing the Niners, he's a former Niner. There's just a lot of different things that I'm seeing where I'm like, why can't they beat the 49ers? And if they do beat the 49ers week one, they could start off 5-0. I'm looking at Christian McCaffrey's calf strain. I'm looking at Brandon Ayuk clearly wanting out. I'm looking at, you know, Brock Purdy's got something to prove. He's trying to get paid. I'm looking at, you know, Trent Williams holding out. And, yeah, maybe Javon Kinlaw wreaks havoc on them. And Rob Saleh should have some type of intel about his former team. Do you think that they can beat the 49ers week one? I do. It's preseason. It's basically preseason for everyone.
Yeah, sure. I mean, anytime you have a defense like the Jets that's played as well as they have the last couple of years, you're gonna have a shot to win any game. It's just a matter of, like, how fast can their offense come together? And, you know, can they make enough plays to beat a team like the 49ers? I mean, sure, yeah, Christian McCaffrey, you know, not there. Or Brandon Ayuk's probably going to be traded. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan's a mad scientist. So, you know, he's going to have some tricks up his sleeve. And obviously he knows, Robert knows some of his tendencies. But, you know, I'm sure Shanahan's going to have some new stays up his sleeve to kind of, you know, get the Jets off their game a little bit and something that they don't expect. But, yeah, I definitely think they can win that game. I don't know if they will. Even if they lose that game, if you start out 4-1, I definitely think that's an incredible start, too. And considering the back half of their schedule, they need to get off to a good start because they play a lot of tough teams later on in the season. I think they have 7 straight games to end the year against teams that finished over .500. And then that's key. Like, you got to get off to that early start. Otherwise, you could be, you know, one of those teams that's going to be struggling just to get into the playoffs at the end.
Yeah, and it's about ending the drought. It's about getting to the playoffs. It's not Super Bowl or bust. It's about, hey, this is the longest existing playoff drought in professional sports.
Correct.
You have Aaron Rodgers here. You have all of this talent. And you have guys' literal lives on the line, their jobs on the line. They got to be a playoff team. And I always try to remind Jets fans, it's not about the Super Bowl. You got to crawl before you walk, before you run, before you sprint. So, like, it's about getting to the playoffs. And like you said, if they start off the right way, that will give them a head start on being one of those last teams.
And also, anytime you get into a tournament, if you get in the playoffs, like, anything can happen, especially when you got a defense as good as theirs. So that's the first step. It's not like a lot of people talk about Super Bowl. I'm not sure that they're there yet. But maybe, you know, it's okay. Like, sometimes, again, like, it takes some time to, you know, develop as a contender there. I mean, even look at a team like the Lions, who made it all the way to the NFC Championship last year. But, you know, that lack of experience, I mean, played a vital role in why they couldn't close out the 49ers when they were up big in that NFC Championship. So, yeah, you got to be able to, like you say, you got to be able to crawl before you walk and, you know, go through those experiences and the rigors of the regular season and the adversity. And I'm sure the Jets are definitely going to do that throughout the year.
Okay, two more things for you. So I was surprised to see Braylon Allen as the running back number two. But I wasn't really that surprised thinking about who he is and what he was. Not for nothing. I wanted Jerry Jones and them to draft him, but Jerry Jones traded away a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, you know, just basically threw a pick away. What does he look like? I mean, he's a big body. He's very young. I think he's one of the youngest players in the league.
He is the youngest player in the league.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he would have been starting for the Cowboys at the running back position. That's how good I think he's been. Like, he's not a fast guy, but a bruising running back that can also catch the ball out the backfield. Like, I was really surprised how good of a pass catcher he was. I mean, he did a little bit at that Wisconsin, but not a lot to think he would be able to do that consistently in the league. But, I mean, I saw one time in the practice, he caught a contested ball that looked like, you know, he looked like a real live, you know, wide receiver that does it on a daily basis. That's how good he is. So wow. I definitely think he's going to be a really good change of pace back with Breece Hall. Breece is obviously a bit faster and smaller, but, you know, Allen, especially as the weather turns in those colder months when you got to go up to Buffalo and, you know, you got to play some of those tough and physical teams, he's going to be a bit key to what they want to do.
A fourth-round draft pick, number 134 overall. I'm looking forward to seeing number zero spell Breece Hall, but it is going to be the Breece Hall show. He should get all the touches that he can handle. Last but not least, man, Hassan Reddick. Are you hearing anything on him from his camp, from other reporters, from the Jets? I feel like this is like, you know, the one cloud hanging over the Jets when they say, oh, typical Jets, there's always something. You know, they trade for this guy, and he can be an absolute game wrecker. I think they got to get it done. They got to get him into camp. They got to just go ahead and pay him because you're all in on this Aaron Rodgers return. You're all in on potentially this last season with Rob Saleh, Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a couple of things. One, like, I don't know if they're not going to give him a long-term deal. So that's pretty much off the table, especially with him not reporting. He missed all the spring, you know, the spring workouts, and then now he's missed, you know, the amount of time he did. It's 2 weeks of training camp, which he's being fined. You know, if you add in the bonus that he missed and everything like that, he's well over $1 million at this point.
Yeah.
So basically at this point, what I think they should do is just give him, you know, an incentive-laden, you know, deal, like, you know, give him some extra money signing bonus-wise and things of that nature too, simply because, you know, that way, you know, it makes us, you know, like, he gets some kind of extra money, but also without a, you know, a long-term deal, because I don't know if you can necessarily give him a long-term deal, especially when you got to pay DJ Reed, potentially, you got to pay Michael Carter, and next year, not for nothing, Sauce, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, yep, Reece Hall are all eligible for extensions. So what does it look like when you got a guy that did not even show up for the spring practices, did not show up at the beginning of training camp, he just all of a sudden comes in and just, you know, gets a new deal. Like Joe, yeah. Douglas, that's something Joe Douglas has to think about too, the end game and all of this. So, yeah, I don't know if you can necessarily give him a long-term deal, but you can give him some an incentive-laden deal, you know, to sweeten the pot and then get him into training camp. Eventually, I think he'll be there. It just may be, you know, towards week one, kind of like what happened to Chris Jones in that situation with the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's what Rob Saleh pointed to, and I know it's different with Chris Jones, who was drafted there, won Super Bowls there. But, man, I think they got to do whatever it takes to get Hassan Reddick into camp at least for the last week and have him ready to go week one. But maybe he's just like that. Maybe he's just built like that where he's going to be ready to go week one and has been working out and training. The only thing I heard about him was, you know, he's from South Jersey. He's from Camden.
Yeah.
He went to Temple, and they said that he showed up to his camp for little kids with a Jets shirt on. Obviously, he can't wear an Eagles shirt, but I think that's a good sign that, like, he plans on playing this year for the Jets. He's just not beat to potentially be hurt in camp or be fighting people pissed off in the heat and the sun in training camp.
Yeah, and also, and not for nothing, he's owed no more guaranteed money. So at this point, for him, it's like, I'm almost 30 years old. I have no more guaranteed money on my deal. Let's say I go out and injure myself in training camp. The Jets can cut me, and they don't owe me any money whatsoever. So I get it from his perspective, too. But the thing is, the Jets did offer him, you know, a deal before the trade was made, according to sources. He decided to decline it. So at that point, the Jets were like, okay, we're still going to make the trade. I don't know if I would have done that, considering, like, I knew this was, it would be a chance that this could happen. But they thought at least he would be able to, he would show up by now. And, of course, that has not happened.
You're the man, bro. Let me know when you need that Yankee hat when you're pulling up to Yankee Stadium to root for the Bronx Bombers.
Oh, that's never gonna happen. But I do go to Yankee game every now and then. But you will not catch me in a Yankee hat. I can guarantee you that.
Antoine Staley, ladies and gentlemen, covering the Jets for the New York Daily News. Thanks for joining us, bro.
All right, boss. So take it easy.